Welcome to the Pam Carey Show, where we explore a new idea every week. Have you ever really, really wanted something and then you got it and it felt sort of empty? You realized what you were after isn't what you truly wanted. Or conversely, have you ever done something that you said, that's not going to be for me? I don't really want to date someone like that. I don't want a job like that. I would never be interested in that kind of a hobby or way to spend my time. But then somehow that situation comes up and you realize you love it. And it's actually what you were after all along. It's the person that you never thought you'd be interested in, that was just a friend, that actually was an amazing partner down the line. Or the work opportunity that didn't really sound like a great fit, but you went to the interview anyway, and it ended up being a wonderful dream job. A lot of these things happen because of one core concept that we are about to get into. In this video podcast, we're going to discuss if you are attached to a certain symbol or story in your mind as to what success or what you want means to you, and if that is actually derailing you from what you really want. We have to dive in with a few examples, and then we'll get into what this might mean in your life and some prompts you can consider. But I think this is most clear with some examples first. So we're going to do one with fitness, one with goals, and one with relationships. When it comes to goals, one example would be me with this channel and podcast. I at first thought that success meant hitting a certain number of subscribers. For instance, a lot of people talk about, oh, that 100,000 subscriber mark, that silver plaque. That sounds really nice, right? But then I noticed that how many views I got on a video or how many subscribers I got in a video really didn't mean as much to me as getting comments from real people about a video helping with a problem that they'd been struggling with or inspiring them, or that they wanted to save it and listen to it occasionally because it's the reminder that they sometimes needed. Getting those responses helps me remember that these are real people. Every single subscriber matters. Every single download on the podcast matters. That's a real person. When you get caught up in the numbers, it actually objectifies people and it objectifies the work. It's no longer about connection and the meaning and improvement and all of this other stuff. It just becomes like getting to that next step. So that's an example where someone attached to a symbol, that silver plaque for 100,000 subscribers, could get derailed because they might get there and realize that it doesn't mean anything if they're not actually either entertaining or informing or inspiring people. What are you here for? And it's like, why are you doing what you're doing in the first place? An example with fitness would be a client of mine who has a story in her head that she needs to do everything perfectly for it to work. She could never eat fast food and get to her goals. And it's almost throwing her off that she is able to still enjoy herself and reach her fitness goals because she's never done it in this more moderate way. We set two goals for 1 week. One was a daily task and one was something she had to only do weekly. And this client did the daily task 6 out of 7 days and she did the weekly task, check. So that's 7 out of 8. But she told me that she failed because she didn't do one of those tasks one day. And then also there was like a reach goal that we set that she didn't get. Fine. We knew it was going to be a really busy week. So 7 out of 8, because it wasn't 8 out of 8, she considered a failure. Is there an area in your life where you believe it has to go perfectly for it to be worthwhile? That's food for thought for later. The third example would be with relationships. Often people get attached to a certain symbol of what it means to be loved. If they do this, that means they love me. If they're this kind of person, that reflects a certain way upon me. So for instance, if they hold my hand, that means they love me. If they don't, why aren't they doing that? What does that mean about how they feel about me? If they introduce me to their family or friends. But again, the reason why I say that these are symbols, these are not the real thing, is if you're really after love, if you're not after these potential signs that could mean love but don't necessarily, you could miss it. Let's dive a little deeper into that with that last example. So imagine a player that is seeing multiple people you don't know that they are, you think that you're exclusive. They could easily introduce you to their friends and introduce someone else to their friends and just tell them to keep it hush hush. And then you feel like, oh, they're so serious about the relationship. They invited me to meet their friends. And it really doesn't mean what you think it means because you took it as a symbol of what that means for your relationship. Or conversely, let's say someone doesn't want to introduce you to their friends for a while. You may take that as they're not that serious about you. But really, it might just mean that that is a huge step for them and they like to wait a while before introducing their family or their friends to who they're seeing. Because maybe they had a bad breakup in the past and they really don't want to merge those worlds quite yet, but it has nothing to do with how they feel about you. That's why we always need to occasionally recenter and ask, what do I really want? And then what are different routes to get there. Now, there is a freaking leaf blower. This guy always blows leaves when I film my videos. I don't know why. Maybe he does it all day and I only notice here. But like, what's wrong with a few leaves on the porch? I don't know. But oh, I don't know how loud that is, but it is real irritating because it makes me wonder if my point's getting across. Okay. Anyway, we're back. We'll go with one more example, and actually one that inspired me to shoot this video this week. I was talking to a good friend about this about a week ago, and we talked about how in her early 20s, she always said that she wanted to date a guy in a suit, meaning, you know, the kind of guy that wears a nice suit to work, gets after it. Maybe he works in big law or finance or something like that. She equated man in a suit with someone financially secure, someone driven, someone that has a similar lifestyle to her. But then I would always kind of push back and be like, is it really the suit that you're after? Or is it something else? Is it just someone that's driven or financially secure? Like, what are you actually after? And I don't think that that really sunk in when we were younger. But down the line, you know, I laid off the topic for a few years and then it came back up and she totally saw it, that what she really was after was something else. Because for instance, someone that works in tech might not wear a suit to work, but they could absolutely have those other qualities that she was really after. Now, I bring up this friend because she said something very insightful when we were having this conversation. I asked her, is there any other areas where you're doing this as well? Do you think that there's any other symbols that you're attached to? And then she said, well, I don't know. When it's a symbol to you, you mistake it for the real thing. So you don't actually know that you're doing it. That is one of the tricky parts about this. You might be listening to this video or podcast and think, I don't really relate to that. I don't do that. But it's partly because until you see it, you don't know that you're doing it. I'll list a few more examples later, but we'll also go into some prompts to help see if you're doing this, some questions that you can ask yourself to interrogate this, because I think we all do it in a certain sense. I'm going to read you the definition of symbol. So Oxford defines it as a thing that represents or stands for something else, especially a material object representing something abstract. The example then they give is the limousine was another symbol of his wealth and authority. But think about someone that has the symbols of wealth, but really they're in debt. Think about someone that doesn't have the symbols of wealth, lives and dresses very frugally, cooks their own meals, takes the subway, all these things, but actually they could have massive amounts of money that they've invested. So we can never mistake the symbol for the real thing. And a symbol, even when it is accurate, never captures the whole thing. I believe it was Alan Watts that talks about this. I'm sure others do as well, that a word never really fully captures the meaning of something. Think about the word bear. It is just a symbol in our mind that we've agreed means bear, but there's so much in a bear that is not captured by that word that we've agreed stands for it. That's getting a little bit more abstract, and we're trying to get away from the abstract in this video and podcast, so we'll keep going. What's really going on is that we miss the heart of it, the core of it, what really matters when we go for symbols. I'll give another example. Let's say that someone is an actor and they grow up watching all of these big blockbuster, big budget movies, or they want to be a director or that something in the entertainment industry. They might think that is success. That means I've made it. Because it's what they're seeing, and it's just something at some point in time they decided that's what success means. But let's say that they're working on a project with really passionate people. The script is amazing. The cast and crew are fantastic. It is paid. There's some money there potentially. It's just not on this grand scale that they once envisioned. Is that success? Are they on the path to success and in it? And I know that I really want to stay away from it's about the journey, not the destination, all of that, because I know it gets so cliche and watered down that it doesn't really mean anything to us. But it does apply here because for a writer, is success the award? Because that is such a small moment in time and it may never come. Is what you really want? That's even a better question. I think success really isn't even the right question. Is what you're really after the paragraph that sends chills down your spine as you write it and you know that it will in readers too, and you can feel it and you're articulating this vision that was in your head. And sometimes as a writer, it is so hard to get it on the page the way it is in your head and it's there and you know it's right. Is that success? Is that what you're really after? There is a podcast by the No Stupid Questions podcast that I can link down below that asks, what is success? And they reference a TED Talk by John Wooden that I will also link down below. If you're going to only listen to one of those, I would listen to the TED Talk. But in the podcast, I think they have an interesting tool that they talk about. They said that if you did a line down the middle of a page, on the left side, you could have the things that really matter to you that only you really know. Like, for instance, the example with the writer writing that paragraph that I was just describing. Then the right side of the page could be objective markers of success that society tends to value, such as that writer winning the award. And what matters most is the left side of the page, often for happiness. And counterintuitively, my belief, and I think a lot of others, is that the left side of the page leads to the right side of the page. If you do the right things, if you find fulfillment in the work, if you keep trying to improve, if you ask yourself, did I do my best? And is it better than it was because I've been improving in my craft or whatever my aim is? The right side will come. It might not be, as John Wooden says in his TED Talk, it might not be as you envision it. He coached basketball teams. You know, it might not be every single championship. In his case, it was still a heck of a lot. But he focused on these little things. Get there early. Present yourself well. Train hard, you know, work on defense, work on the right positioning. He didn't necessarily care about the person with the most talent. What did you do with the talent that you have? And so because we can't control everything, we don't know what will happen on that right side of the page, those objective measures. But enough of them will probably come if you focus on what you can control on that left side of the page and the process. I've been using a lot of examples from creative careers, but this applies to everything. It's that idea of, is success when the teacher is recognized on the school board, or is it when they make a student light up inside and care about a subject for the first time in their life? So some of this comes down to thinking that things need to be larger or more glamorous than they are to be successful. But I'm not necessarily saying that we have to scale down our expectations or play smaller, or that we can't want to do big objective things in the world. It's just more about making sure that what you're really after is what you actually want, and that you're not getting caught up in a symbol. If what you actually want is some sort of award, and that's going to make you feel fulfilled inside, absolutely. But if you really look at a lot of people that have achieved some sort of level of money or fame or success in terms of awards, they will often say that it feels very empty when they get there. So then ask yourself instead, what do I actually want? Because probably, I'm willing to bet you, it's not that, or at least it's not just that. You're after what that means to you. You're after what you think that that will give you. Is it acceptance? Is it love? Is it improvement in your craft? Is it impacting people? Is it flow state? Is it the journey itself? Like, what is it? What are you actually after? And is there a more direct path to get there? You know, I might do a whole video on this at some point in the future, but I've been hearing about this a lot and contemplating a lot myself, that often when we're after anything that we want from some other person, whether it's love, approval, adoration, etc., like when we want something from other people, really we want it from ourselves. We want to be loved and approved of by ourselves, because we often can't give that to ourselves. And the shortcut to get there is to give it to yourself. It's I don't want to say it's hard. Takes effort and it feels like you're cheating. But that's one reason why people feel so empty inside when they actually do get something and they don't actually feel any sort of love or acceptance for themselves. But that's a slightly tangential topic another time. And maybe it's not about that internal motivation versus external motivation. Maybe that has nothing to do with it. And maybe it's just that your compass has gotten a little bit misaligned and we need to find what your North Star is for you. Now, you're going to do this activity in two parts. First, we need to know what the real thing is that you're after. What is your true north? What is your North Star? So that then we can go directly after that. So I want you to write out, what is it that you're most after. And this could be any sort of objective. It's probably going to be a few. I doubt you only are setting out for one thing right now. Usually humans have multiple objectives at once, but maybe one to three things that you want to move towards in your life. Write about what real success would be for you, what your North Star is, what you really want and what you're after. Then you're going to do these other prompts and see where there's a bit of a disconnect. These are clues that we've attached to a symbol or an incorrect story of the way it has to be. So here's some clues that it's happening. You're attached to a very particular story about the way something should go. That could be a very specific person you need love from. It could be a certain path to your ideal job. If you think about a target, but let's say that target is not a two-dimensional object, it's a three-dimensional object. It's like a ball. It's a core of what you want. I talked about this in a video a long time ago, but I don't think that many of you will see that. So I'll just describe it here. You can get to that same heart object, et cetera, different directions. If you imagine shooting an arrow from it, you could go this way, you could go this way, you could go this way. And it's the same thing with your goals. So have you attached to it needs to be this way? This is the only way to get there. I highly doubt that that is true. I want you to sit down and think about what am I actually want and what are three more ways to get there that are different compared to the story in my head about how I thought I had to get there. Just to kind of open your mind up a little bit. Next, you apply black and white thinking. If it's not perfect, it's a failure. If I didn't go to the gym every day this week, I'm not successful on my path. I'm not going to get to my goal. That is certainly not true. That is certainly not true from a physiological standpoint, not just a, oh, I'm trying to be encouraging standpoint. So think about that with your goals. Where has perfectionism tripped you up as a different kind of story? That's not even true. Next, you think it needs to work for you the way you've seen it work for other people. Maybe there's a certain person in your head that you've seen as a role model, as you've seen as that success. That's the way to do it. I want to be like them. But you are unique. You might have a different story. You might have a different vision of success, and success may look different as you're getting there and the attainment of it. And then lastly, the point we were hitting on recently is sometimes we're attached to something looking more glamorous than it may need to be. So if it is not that polished version that we've seen online or idealized, it's suddenly not wonderful. It's not amazing. It's not worth it. Have you fallen prey to that? There is a related video that I will link right up here about that whole topic in general and about how sometimes we're attached to a fantasy about something more so than what it might look like in reality. So those are all some thoughts on if you are chasing a symbol of what you want rather than chasing the actual thing. And as always, what we want shifts over time, so it takes continually checking in with ourselves. Occasionally, I like to do quarterly, but you're going to find what works for you. And like I said at another point in this video, often we don't know that we're doing this. If we did know that we were doing it, we wouldn't do it. So this might take a little bit of time, just letting these thoughts kind of simmer in the background, checking in occasionally. And once you're aware that you're chasing a symbol and not what you actually want in your core, then it becomes a lot easier to solve the problem. Sometimes awareness is the answer, and this is one of those times. Thank you for listening and being here as always. If you're enjoying this content, share it with a friend and or leave a review on your favorite podcast app or website. See you next time and have a wonderful, wonderful week.